Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I welcome you in today because you are going to learn from a smart person. My smart person today is Dustin Magaziner. He is the CEO of PayBright, which has the motto, Merchant Services Done Right. PayBright is one of the top independent sales organizations and is in the top 1% of growing processors in the nation. Dustin, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. So let's start with this. Tell me a little bit about your backstory and kind of how you got to be where you are today, and what made you decide to start a merchant services company, please?
Yeah. So, I kind of fell into it, honestly. I don't think there are very many people who are, crawling around as kids thinking, I want to be in merchant services, right? It's not one of those industries. I certainly didn't, think I would be in merchant services. I didn't even know what it was, most of my life, right? So I kind of fell into it in college, really was out there just selling door to door, and from there brought some friends in. And, we got started in 2012. And before we knew it, we had, a bigger organization with a lot more going on. The plan was law school, and quickly that changed. So kind of fell into it by mistake from sales, from selling to small businesses and working with small businesses, and recognized there was a really big need for better solutions and better options for businesses and business owners. So it's kind of the very quick tidbit of how I got into what I do.
Okay. So for anyone that has questions about, what exactly is merchant services? Because okay, you hear about the merchant marines and you hear about all kinds of different things. What is merchant services for the layperson, please?
Yeah, so I answer this question all the time, and without getting too technical here, every time a credit card transaction takes place, right? Whether it's going online on Amazon and purchasing your favorite, item, or going to your favorite restaurant, the nightclub one night, or just getting your hair done, and you hand a business your credit card, your debit card, give it to them over the phone, whatever it is, a transaction is taking place. And in order for that transaction to take place, everyone knows Visa and MasterCard, but most people forget that there's in every transaction a processor involved. And without getting, again, too technical, we are the ones that facilitate that transaction, allow for the money to switch hands from bank to bank, and allow for things to go nice and smoothly for the consumer as well as the business owner. So it's allowing transactions to take place, more or less with credit and debit cards.
Okay. So you've been doing this for almost 10 years now. And I'm assuming, let me just kind of give you, I heard Arnold Schwarzenegger do a keynote at a graduation ceremony in which he talked about that he's not a self-made man. He has a number of other people whose shoulders he stands on to get to where he is today. I'm assuming that you've had that kind of experience as well. Can you talk a little bit about the relationships that you have that have helped you get to where you are today?
There are a lot. There's no shortage of people that have helped me get to where I am. That is for sure. From family to friends to, heck, some of the first businesses that signed up with us. When I first got into this business, I can't make these stories up. When I first sold my first few accounts, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know anything about merchant services other than that businesses also didn't understand merchant services. So my approach was quite literally, let me just give this to you at cost and see what happens. I don't need to make money right now. I'm a 19-year-old college student. I don't really have very many bills, but I want to learn this industry. So let me give it away to you. And they said yes. And those businesses have been some of our largest champions ever since. A lot, most of them are still with us to this day, 9-10 years later. But there's also tons of people that have helped, from friends to family to, my own parents making introductions to me to businesses that they ate at or that they frequented, and, everyone in between. So really, I've had all types of mentorship and a lot of bad mentorship too, right? I think everyone always talks about mentors being a good thing, which is 100% true, but also sometimes you have to temper that. When I first got into the business, somebody told me we'd be out of business within 2 years with our model because we gave too much away and we were too friendly to businesses. And obviously, here we are, successfully almost 10 years later. So there's two sides of that coin, but mentorship is huge.
Okay. So do you take that concept of mentorship now and kind of like trickle down economics, in which you've had people who have been your mentors and have really been champions for you? And then is that something that you're providing for other people as well?
I sure hope so. It's actually one of the things that I'm most passionate about, you know, both in business and personally, right? I mean, on the personal side, you know, I've coached what's called high school mock trial for years, right? Just because it's a way to give back and mentor students. But in the business world, our industry is a little different, because the way that the sales and the, you know, sales engine kind of works in this industry is oftentimes through third-party resellers or third-party sales agents. A lot of these people know nothing about merchant services, just like I did when I first started, or didn't when I first started. And, you know, they're relying on us to mentor them, to tell them how to be successful, to give them that roadmap. And in a lot of cases, right, I see my success and PayBright's success just based on how many of those people we can mentor and help change their lives. You know, I receive texts and calls and emails fairly regularly from, you know, people that are selling for us or have sold from us in the past, and, you know, saying how grateful they are and how we've truly helped them improve their lifestyle or their lives because they've found success within the industry due to a lot of what we've been able to offer them. So that's what, you know, frankly, is motivating to me. It's why I wake up every morning passionate about what I do, about being able to provide, you know, that mentorship to people who before, you know, maybe don't have it.
Okay, because what you're talking about is a different model of mentorship, right? There's the classic view of mentorship in which, like, your dad's business partner takes you out to lunch and, you know, that kind of thing. But you're talking about in business, day-to-day mentorship, in which as a service provider, you are educating the people that you're working with. And some of those may be new business owners. Some of those may be businesses who are looking to grow. And it's a business style of mentorship, not a, and this is overstating it, but not a nepotism style of mentorship where you get advantages based on who you know. It's based on who you're doing business with. Am I properly understanding what you're talking about?
And to some extent, who's hungry, right? Who wants to seek out the mentorship and reach out and ask for that help a lot of the time? You know, I say it all the time, and I've said this since we got into the business, we will pretty much match any person or any person that needs it or wants its level of intensity. If they come to us looking for help and they're calling 10 times a day, I don't want them to apologize. I want them to recognize we're here to help them. You know, I think sometimes, you know, it seen the opposite way, right? Like, you know, you should be thankful that I'm here. I see it the other way. I'm here to help however I can for these people that are looking to build within a new industry and have success and, you know, hopefully better their lives. Most mentorship, I agree with you, is seen opposite, right? You know, you're lucky if I'm willing to take you out to the club and sit down for, you know, 30 minutes and, you know, I'll give you some wisdom that I've had over years. And that can be helpful at times as well, no doubt. But to me, mentorship goes a step further, which is really playing more of an active role in helping that person kind of get through the weeds and understand what really leads to success and what maybe sometimes doesn't.
And the style of mentorship that you were doing, though, also is symbiotic in nature, okay, where you are providing a service and the success of the business that you are working with, the success of the business person that you are working with is helpful to you. The more successful they are, the more beneficial it is to you as a service provider to them. And in that way, it becomes more of a partnership rather than a one-sided thing where, especially, you know, you're talking about that where you have someone who is experienced and they kind of download some information to you and that's the extent of it. You don't have a whole lot to provide back to them, but in this model, both of you are benefiting as the people that you're working with are increasing their business and doing a better job with that. Is that, again, understanding?
100%. And, you know, I've said for a long time that our success will fundamentally be based on our ability to provide and help those individuals have success. What's a shame is that a lot of the companies in our industry have taken the opposite approach, that it is 100% on these types of people, on these salespeople, on these people that want to get into the business to figure it out themselves. That's the experience I had, frankly. I remember having to spend hours and hours and hours to understand things that now somebody could call in and have the answer from us in 5 minutes. But that experience didn't exist then. It was, you know, more of a kind of dog eat dog world where you have to really kind of figure it out. And most people won't struggle through that. You know, 6 months of not knowing what you're doing is pretty painful when you don't have any support or somebody to really kind of show you the ropes. So, you know, we see ourselves as providing a higher level service, which is part of our business, of course. But fundamentally, we're in the business in a lot of cases of providing that level of service and mentorship. It's a core part of our business.
Why do you think it is that so a lot of those skills aren't taught in school? A lot of those things where, like, yeah, someone has had some level of training, but then once they're out in the real world, so to speak, they're kind of left on their own. And like, you throw them in the deep end and say, like, figure it out, go. Why do you see that model as being how things are generally, you know, that's generally what's expected?
I don't know that I know the answer for why, but I can certainly say that there's a huge gap, obviously, in what most people are taught and shown through school and a lot of what people end up doing in the real world, especially in sales related jobs and things similar. You know, there's always things I see on social media, memes and jokes about, you know, what you learn in school, but meanwhile, you know, kids don't learn how to file their own taxes, right? I mean, there's always kind of these contradictions that take place. But to me, right, some of these things that I think are fundamental, right? Things like simple in sales, the law of averages, these things are never taught to people. You know, we have people come out of college, right? Great resumes, and they think they're going to walk into 10 businesses and walk out with 10 sales. And it just, there's no expectation, no realistic, you know, viewpoint that they've been shown until we sit them down and go over it with them. And some get it right away, right? If I have a 20% closing ratio, I've got to walk into, you know, on average 5 businesses to make a sale sort of thing. It's definitely a gap in what kids are shown these days. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, it goes even the step beyond that. When you begin to look at the law of averages, okay, this is the average amount that I'm making per sale. This is my closing rate. So I figure out how much money do I want to make. That tells me how many sales I need to make. That tells me how many businesses I need to visit this week in order to get to where I need to be. And obviously with sales, you know, it's not an exact science, but it's at least giving you a ballpark figure of what you need to do in order to get to where you need to be. It makes so much sense. And you're right. It's not taught. And having someone there to kind of help you understand that is making a huge difference. I guess the other thing that I think about is when people are taught things in school, that they're not necessarily, they're taught them from an academic or theoretical perspective. So you have, like, in school, people are learning about business ethics, okay? And yet when you get out into the real world, there's still the temptation to cut corners here and there. There's still, can you, like, what are your thoughts on that? And how do you make the connection in a subject like business ethics between the academic theoretical and the practical real everyday living part?
So for me, right, I was taught growing up, my parents, you know, really instilled in you know, upon me, and I'm sure like a lot of you know, kids growing up, that if you do the right thing, good things will follow. And I think a lot of people question that sometimes, right? They hear it theoretically, but then they question, you know, if I shave a little off my taxes, will anyone know? Or if I, you know, shave it off somebody's commission, will they ever know? And the answer is, yeah, those people will know. People will find out. So for me, I've learned that when you do things ethically 100% of the time, right, it's a zero-sum game. That becomes your reputation. That becomes who you are. And you can, you know, obviously, you know, be prideful about that. But more importantly, people recognize that and they want to do business with you. there are a lot of people who, you know, over the years have been attracted to working with PayBright because we have, you know, stood by our morals every time in every instance. So to me, right, I think selfishly, again, when you do the right thing in the short term, there may not always be that benefit, but that long-term benefit is immense. So, you know, my, you know, way of teaching it to anyone that I'm working with is always do what's right first and foremost, right? Yes, you need to be able to go home and sleep well at night. That's hugely important, but good things will come, right? That will get out. You know, I, for example, had a situation where a business was once years ago, really, really taken advantage of by the bank they were processing with. It was a horrible situation, tens, if not even pushing into the, you know, six figure kind of losses situation. And I couldn't process for them because of how messy this was. It wasn't a merchant we could really help, but I spent probably 60, 70 hours helping them fix that situation. And in so doing, they raved about us. Now, I wasn't doing it thinking, who is this business going to connect me to? I was doing it because it was the right thing to do. And I understood the industry better than they ever could at that point. And I was able to help them, and good things came. So for me, you've got to do what's right first, and everything will follow from there.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. My parents taught me very similar. They taught me something like, you know, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing, which is a double negative, but which means that it is always the right time to do the right thing. And it sounds to me like you're looking at this not from a personal gain perspective, but you're looking at it from, what is the right thing for me to do for the people that I'm working with? And that's really a different viewpoint, because so many times in life, the question that people ask is, what's in it for me? I'm only going to do this if there is some financial or some form of benefit for me. And you're saying, okay, the benefit for me is being able to sleep at night. And yeah, there will be good things that come out of this. They may not be readily apparent in this, but I'm going to do the right thing for the people that I'm working with and not just about me. How did you develop that mindset? Because that's not typical.
So, you know, the truth is, you know, one, I think it came from hearing horror stories, right? You know, everyone in business has their battle stories, right? They get together and they talk about what they've seen and what's happened. And the same thing is with businesses. And this industry is known as, unfortunately, a pretty dirty industry. And it's one of the reasons that attracted me to it. For me, you know, as a kid, I was always the person who, you know, was very by the book. For example, I didn't have a sip of alcohol until I turned 21. I was just very into rules and doing the right thing. And I think maybe too much, right? I've loosened up a little bit since then, not doing anything crazy, but I have loosened up a bit. And I was just very much so obsessed with doing the right thing, right? I wanted to be a US attorney, go to law school, right? Prosecute bad guys. Like, that's really what I wanted to do. And I think that there's a part of that that's still with me. I'm not necessarily looking to go after bad guys, but I think I can provide solutions to people that are really good that others aren't looking to do, because, you know, everyone else in this industry is, how can I get an extra 5 cents out of this business and a dollar out of that business and $2 here and $5 there? And we just look at it from a totally different angle, which is, let's not do all of those things that cause pain and suffering. And instead, the businesses are going to want to be with us, that the salespeople are going to want to work with us because they recognize that we do what we say and we say what we do. So again, you know, it's maybe selfish that if you do the right thing, people want to work with you. And I recognize that, but there's just always been a part of me that just very much so felt that doing the wrong thing was something that should be more publicized. People should know that you're a bad actor and not want to work with you. It's amazing to me that people get away with some of the things they do. And, you know, can still exist in the world, right? I mean, an example right now, right, is, you know, there's all kinds of things that go on in this industry that are horrible. And it's not a secret, right? In Maryland, for example, there's a, you know, a state law that actually forces processors to behave better. But why is only one state in the country having restrictions like that? It makes no sense to me. In every other state, they can do whatever they want. They can, you know, rip off merchants if they so choose. But again, you know, there's just none of these, you know, these laws or enforcement to stop it. So we just want to do what's right and feel good about ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just say that from my perspective, in some ways you're fighting the bad guys, but you're kind of doing the contrapositive. I don't know if that's exactly you are helping the good guys, right? So by helping business owners, by lessening those fees, they're able to be more profitable in their business, even if it's a little bit on every transaction. It's going to be something that is going to be ultimately beneficial. And so how are you able to communicate your personal philosophy into something that fits with your employee and the culture of your entire organization? Because that, to me, translating it from this is what I believe to this is the way that we do business.
Yeah. So first, it's just certain principles and ways PayBright does business, right? And second, it's the people that we work with, from a sales perspective and a hiring perspective, a recruiting perspective. We get calls from people all the time. I got one, honestly, like a week or two ago, where, an agent reached out, he wants to work for us. And because of differences in kind of, I think, the way we like to do business and maybe he does, we told him he's not a good fit. We just unfortunately, and that's pretty much unheard of in merchant services. If you call a merchant service company and say, I want to work for you, commission only, they're going to all say, yeah, let's do it, right? Because they've got nothing to lose. We want people that we believe in, that we think are going to represent us well, and that we can then stand behind as well. And I think that's the first thing. We don't just work with anyone to work with anyone. We work with people that their interests align with us. When we're talking to a new prospective agent, we tell them that we're entirely month to month. And they say, well, I want to do contracts and cancellation fees. Can we? No. And that's a red flag to me, frankly. And when we say we don't do rate increases, and they say, well, how do I do a rate increase on these merchants? And we say we don't. That's a red flag to me. And when we say, we give away all the equipment for free, and they say, well, how do I charge the merchant for the equipment you're giving them for free? That's a red flag to me, right? Because at the end of the day, the reason we're doing these things is because we believe in these things. We believe this is the way the industry should operate. This is the way we believe every company should operate. And, what you're saying when you say that is, well, other companies aren't, so I can still do it because they're doing it, right? If it's like the banks with ACH reject fees, right? When everyone was charging them, everyone could get away with it. But then you had one bank say, we're not going to charge for ACH rejects, and then another. And eventually everyone had to perform better. And so we're very selective over the types of people we'll work with. If their ethics and kind of way of doing business doesn't align with ours, we avoid them or will even potentially not work with them at all. And we standardize our program, right? So again, a lot of processors, what one business has versus another isn't the same. What could they get one business to agree to? To me, that doesn't sound right. Every business with us is month to month. Every business to us doesn't have rate increases. Every business with us qualifies for free equipment, regardless of did their sales rep upsell them into a contract. It's just not right to me. So I think that maybe answers the question a little bit.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like what you're doing is you're setting up processes. You're setting up the business with processes in place to say, this is how we do business. And if you as an employee can't do business within these parameters, then maybe you're not a good fit for us. And to me, that sounds like you're creating a culture in which relationships with your vendors, with the people that are utilizing your services, the relationships are what ultimately drive the business. The profits follow from the relationships. Am I understanding that right?
Profits follow. In this industry, right, it's so important to feel confident and comfortable in the people you're working with and know that they're good people. For example, again, we do background checks on every person that sells for us, every single one. Did you know that almost no processors do that?
Really?
So you could be signing up with, a merchant services company, in which case you're giving them your banking information, your social, your tax ID. You're basically signing your life away. And there are literally companies who hire people who have felonies, financial crime backgrounds. And why do I know this? Because they're in the industry. They've, applied to work with us, and we decline them because it comes up in their background, right? A lot of the companies in the industry, I won't name them, although I certainly could, don't even go as far as doing background checks. right? To me, that's the first step. We're in financial services. How can you not? And I've heard it. Well, this company would work with me. Why won't you? Well, we have a higher standard. And it shows. But to me, it should be a minimum requirement, not the threshold.
Sure. It makes a lot of sense. Listen, I appreciate you, you know, kind of talking me through this. And I'm very appreciative of the way that you do business. If people are interested in finding out more about your organization, what's the best way to do that or to connect with you, or how do they do that?
Yeah. Best way is, you know, either go to our website, and there's obviously a contact us page. Our website is just gopaybright.com. Or of course, somebody's always welcome to email me directly if they don't spam me, please. But is always welcome to email me. My email is just dustin@gopaybright.com. Always happy to communicate. I'm fairly responsive, and always happy to help out where we can.
Yeah, definitely. I will. Let's put it this way. I will put your website in the show notes. I'm not putting your email in there just because, you're talking about things, doing things ethically and making sure that we establish a relationship. If I put your email in there and you get countless spam from it, it will do detrimental harm to our relationship and moving forward.
I understand. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem, Dustin. Okay. Listen, it is time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
I think I am.
What would you say is the most daring thing that you have ever done?
Easy, skydiving.
Okay. How often have you gone?
I've only been skydiving one time, and it was on a whim. So on my birthday, I think I was 24, 25. I woke up and I said to my friend, literally, "Hey man, you want to go skydiving?" We show up at this place, unexpected, had no idea what we were doing. And not only did we go skydiving, but at least from what I've been told, and I think I can say it now because it's been long enough, I'm pretty sure it was an illegal skydive because we are not certified skydivers. We had no experience, and it was nighttime. They were behind. We were supposed to go up when it was light out. So all of the pictures we have, it's pitch dark. And they literally told us not to tell people. Now I'm telling the whole world.
Right.
Because supposedly you're not allowed to take, you know, people like us skydiving at night. But I am a bit of an adrenaline active person. I love to scuba dive. I'm a, you know, certified, or not a rescue scuba diver. I'm really into Brazilian jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and just very active stuff. But most daring, absolutely skydiving.
Okay. What would you say is your favorite movie of all time?
Now that's a tough one because there's so many different genres. You know, I'm a big fan of a lot of movies, but I'd probably say anything Adam Sandler, right? I don't even want to define it as favorite, but just anything Adam Sandler and I'm in.
Okay. Let me ask is there an Adam Sandler movie that you would say, this one doesn't measure up to this one is at Adam Sandler when he's not at his best?
Oh, pretty much everything after like 2005. you know, there's a difference between, you know, pre and post, you know, 2007, 2005 kind of, you know, time frame.
Okay. I don't want to upset any of the people that get services from you, but let me ask you this question. I'm assuming that you service a number of restaurants.
We do.
Is there one of those restaurants that you've had something at that you've said, you know what, this is a dish that I will highly recommend? The favorite dish that you've had at any of the restaurants that you provide services to?
So this is not one of our businesses, but it's still the first restaurant that comes to mind. And I hate to give a shout out to a restaurant that's not ours.
Okay.
But there's a restaurant in Santa Monica in California, obviously, that's called Wovo. And to me and my girlfriend as well, we just absolutely love that place. I live nowhere near there. Keep in mind, I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. So this is across the country and it's still the first place that comes to mind. They are not a PayBright account,
okay,
at least not that I know of. They could be. We have thousands and thousands of merchants and I certainly don't know all of them, but they are, you know, of all the restaurants that I think of, the top that comes to mind for sure.
Okay. And is there a go-to dish that, you know, when you and your girlfriend are headed to, you said Wovo?
Wovo, yeah.
When you go there, what is it that you're getting?
So it's all they have is pasta.
Okay.
there is not a huge menu there. So, you know, the short answer is we're getting pasta.
Okay.
Of course, you know, there's all types, but we'll go and we'll get like five bowls of pasta and it's just incredible. It is a great place.
Fantastic. Dustin, thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate you sharing. You are indeed a smart person. For those of you out there who have businesses and are looking for a way to save on your merchant services, go check out PayBright, see what you can learn from them and see if it's something that will work for you. In the meantime, everybody who's listening, thank you. I appreciate you being with me. I'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.